This week I've been navigating through a statement, the good life. I wonder what the good life is. Do you want the good life? And I've heard that statement a couple times, the good life. And as I ponder that statement and ponder what it takes to have the good life, God, what is the good life? Or what is the good life? I want to know more about this good life. So, well, how do we define that concept of good life? The good life, how do we define that concept? How do we define that phrase, the good life? And so I did what most red-blooded Americans at least would do, and I went to Google and I asked Google, and before I did, I wanted to have the definition of good life because I want to know what those two words or three words mean. And so the definition of good life is this: a high quality. Good is high quality. That's the definition. That's a high quality. Then life is the way or manner of living. So the highest manner of living is what I come up. So what is the highest manner of living? Where do I go? How do I get the good life? How do I get the highest manner of living? And so Google didn't show me anything for highest manner of living, but they showed me something for the good life. And so I typed in good life, and I come up with a lot of pictures. There was no lack of influence or definition of that good life under somebody's. They're perceiving something, or they have an answer to that concept of the good life. And some of the pictures are like this. And the good life, a guide to health and success. And it's how to stay healthy and invest your money so you can become richer. Because you need to be healthy and rich. That's the good life, healthy and rich. I thought that was a pretty good, because at least you can be rich and not sick. You know, it doesn't do you much good to be sick and rich. And so the guy's got it down. I need to be healthy and rich if I'm going to have the good life. And then Florida advertises the live the good life. But then there's this the good life over here. That's got the picture of the radish on it, and that's getting out on your own and being self-efficient, self-sustaining lifestyle. That's the good life. And I find it interesting that go away from society is the good life. Go towards society is the good life. And so there's the both ends of the stick here. You got to be here to have a good life. No, you need to get rid of that. You need to get rid of that. And no, you need the good life. You need to get lean and feel great and look fabulous. And then that is that the good life, or is that just helps you gain the good life? See, I don't know those things. I don't know how to get the good life. It's just, do I need to go to Florida? Is the good life, can you have the good life in Pennsylvania? Maybe not January, I don't know, but do I need to go to a certain location to have the good life? Do I have to have a certain number in my bank account? Do I have the good life? Do my cholesterol and heart rate need to be so I can have the good life? Or is that the good life? Am I confusing anybody else? Because I don't know what that's doing. Is that, do I arrive at those things, or do I start at those things and then I can start having the good life? And then I dig a little deeper and I come up with some of these. And I like this one over here. It says, living the good life with one feeling at a time. I'm not sure I really buy into that. Eudaimonia is Aristotle. It's Aristotle. He's got a whole thinking on the good life. I don't understand most of it. I mean, he's way off my charts of thinking, but he's like 3,000 years ago. He's pondering the same thoughts. And I figured, at least I put that in, at least this is supposed to be him up in this corner. At least it's like I'm not the first guy to ever think of this. What is the definition of the good life? And so Aristotle, one of the brightest philosophers of all times, he was pondering those, and it took him a long time to even think he could start down the understanding of what the good life is. And then we can get a quote from Abraham Lincoln that says, back please, in the end, it's not the years in the life, but it's the life in the years. Okay, that's cool. But what is the good life? What does it take to have the good life? Do I need to go to a certain spot? Do I need to have a certain a status or a certain health rating? If I'm sick and poor, is that, and I'm doomed, then there's never a good life. What if I'm born with a disability into a poor family? I'd never get a good life. And then I just start to embrace, I can't have a good life. I can't get here. I can't do this. I can't move over here. So I'm out of the realm of having a good life. That don't seem right to me. And then I've read this at funerals, the dash between the ears. And so I pulled this out this week and I said, hey, I wonder if this, what this is. I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that the date of her birth, and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what matters the most is the dash between the years. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we lived and loved and how we spent our dash. Well, that's interesting, but why do I only read that at funerals? Just so you know, when you get a date at the end of that, your dash is done. I want to know why I'm in the dash. I want to know what the good life is. I want to know if I have to migrate to Florida. Do I have to migrate to the north? Do I have to grow my own radishes, which I'm starting to do because I'm wondering if it has something to do with the good life. I have a dish of radishes started. I'm going to tell you if that produces the good life. I'm a little hesitant to think that they're going to. And I want to know what's written on my dash. I want to know. I want to have a good life. I don't want to have just a good time. See, I think the problem is these places offer a good time and not a good life. I don't want to have just a good time. I want to have a good life. I don't want my dash to be a hyphenated or my dash to be a dotted line. A good time, not. Good time, not. Good time, not. Good time, not. I don't want to have only a good time. I want to have a good life. So what is the definition of a good life? So I'm searching the scripture, and in Colossians 3, we've been in there, and it says this: let the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Hang with me today. I've got to unpack a couple different things, hopefully marry them together at the end, and really give us a definition of what the good life is and how we can get it, no matter where we're at, no matter what bank account we have, no matter what's going on in our life, no matter how healthy or unhealthy we are, that we can have the good life. No matter what situation you're in, you don't have to move from one situation to another in the physical realm of this world to have a good life. It's not limited to one category of people or two categories of people. It's open to all people that you can have a good life. But the problem is sometimes we strive for the good life only to find out 20, 30, 40 years later that it's really not the good life. And so we go all the way back over here and we start to think again. That happens in your 50s, just in case you're wondering. And so I'm stuck in my 50s, and so are you today. When you start to reflect and you start to, is this what it really is all about? I've been here, I've done this. And see, what I don't want to do is relive the same year over and over and over and over. I want to live the good life. I want to have a good life. I want to make a difference. Whatever that definition is, that concept is of the good life, I want that. And in Colossians it says this: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So now that's got my attention. Just so you know, that's got my attention. Just that simple phrase is so full. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Number one, he's not going to force it on me. He's asking and inviting me to let it dwell in me richly. He's saying, let it happen in your life. Not commanding it in my life, but he said, if you want it, it's here. If you want it, it's here. I don't really care who you are. You want it, it's here. You can let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. But let me unpack that some more. The word of Christ, to dwell means to give it a home. To dwell means give it a home. So I need to give the word of Christ a home. A home in my life. a home in my situation, a home in my family. It needs to be a home and dwell in me richly. Let it come alive in my home, not as the servant, but as the master, is what that word refers to. Too often I think that I have the word of Christ as the servant in my life, not as the master in my life. And he said, if you want the good life, I think he's going to come to that. He said, if you want the good life, the first thing we need to do is let the word of God, the word of Christ, dwell in me richly. Did you give it a home? Do you want to give it a home? Let it have a home. All those who will let it, get it. All those who will let it, get it. And that doesn't mean just hanging it on our bumper stickers. That means giving it a home and letting it be the master of the home. We're going to pack out some more. So keep with me. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then it says, continuing in 16, as you teach and admonish one another or counsel with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts toward God. So I see that this is what's just going to produce is a life of giving and receiving, a life of worship and praise and thanksgiving. I know we could take each one of them and we got to unpack it. We don't have time for that today. You can do that on your own to unpack each one of those things. But I think is what he's saying. You want a life of teaching and counsel and getting and receiving teaching and counsel. You need to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You want to speak and have a life of worship and praise and thanksgiving to God, you need to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then 17, he says this, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to the Father through him. A life that is directed by and lived for the glory of the name of Jesus is what that's saying. So do you want that life? He said, do you want this a reality in your life? Push the button. Do you want this reality in your life? Do you want a life that's it's defined like this? Please push the button. If you want it's defined like this. A life of giving and receiving. A life of worship and praise and thanksgiving. A life that is directed by and lived for the glory of the name of Jesus. Is that the life, living life at the highest manner? Are you with me today? Is that the definition of living life in the highest manner? Thus, the definition of the good life. That a life of giving and receiving, a life of praise and worship and thanksgiving, and a life that's directed by and lived for the glory of the name of Jesus. See, I really want to know if that's living life in its highest manner. Now, I guess we all have to come to some, but can we lay enough evidence, some conclusion on our own to because we're going to go at what we think is important in life, and we're going to strive toward what that good life is in our life, and is this the definition of good life? That's what I'm asking myself, and I'm just bringing that question to all of us today. It's more of a question. I have a lot more question marks in this series or in this sermon than I have statements. And so I know that he's inviting me to do something. Let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. And I know he's saying that this is going to transform your teaching and your counsel and your admonishing and worship and praise and thanksgiving to God. And as a matter of fact, whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. And so all of a sudden, that verse 17 starts to give me an understanding that this is not just something I do on a Sunday or when I'm studying in my office, but it's whatever I do. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. Do it in the name of Jesus. Does that produce the good life? Is that the good life itself? Is that living life in the highest manner? The word of Christ dwelling richly in us produces the good life. How do I let the word of Christ dwell in me richly then? If that produces that kind of life, and I'm going to define good life as one of giving and receiving, I'm going to define good life as one of worship and praise and thanksgiving to God, and I'm going to define the good life that whatever I do in word or deed, I'm going to be directed by and for the glory of Jesus. That's my definition. I've come to this week. That's my definition of the good life. I'm going to give and receive, and I'm going to worship and praise and thank God on a regular basis. And whatever I do, I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to let him direct my life, and I'm going to let him get the glory for what's going on in my life. Amen. That's my definition of good life. So how do I get there? Is it only in Florida? Is it at the end of the rich pot of gold? Is it only limited to those that are healthy? I don't see that in that passage when he says let. And he doesn't have a parenthetical around that. Let, oh, the only you that have fit this category, let. It's just let. Let you, that you can let it. But will you give it a home? Will you let the word of Jesus give a home in your heart, not as the servant? Will you please get him off the servant? He's not your butler. He's your master. He's not your spare tire. He's the whole vehicle. And until that becomes a reality in my life, I'm going to treat him like a servant. He didn't show up when I wanted him to. He didn't do when I wanted him to. He wasn't here on time. Wah, 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 wah. That sounds like the way I would talk to a servant. When I speak, you need to be here. When I say do this, you need to go do this. I'm the employer. You're the employee. Jesus says you got it wrong. That's why you're screwed up. Will you let my word dwell in you richly? Because I want to produce something in your life. I don't know if it's going to go on in Pennsylvania or Florida. I don't know if it's going to go on if you're a millionaire or you have no money. I don't know if it's going to go on if you're healthy or if you're sick. I'm just saying let you, because I'll dwell in anyone. I will dwell in anyone and produce this life. So how do I? My question still remains is, how do I let the word of Christ dwell in me richly? Just so you know, I spent some time on this week because I can't leave it there. I don't know if I'm OCD on some things or not, but I just can't leave it there. I can't leave it there. I'm not going to leave those steps on my cellar. I just can't leave it there. Call it whatever you want. Diagnose me with everything you want and prescribe some medicine for me. I probably won't take it, but you can prescribe anything you want. I don't know, but I can't leave it there. Because I have not answered the question. I see the definition of a good life, one of worship, praise, and thanksgiving, one of giving and receiving, and one where I am going to be empowered and directed by Jesus to his glory and honor. But I don't know how to do that yet, because I don't know how to let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. And so I continue to seek out that. And I come to Ephesians 5, to be honest, and it says this: do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. I found that interesting. As I continued to read that passage, it says this: speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, and in the name of our Lord Jesus. Now I'm starting to say, wait a minute! That recipe and this recipe are starting to produce the same cake! Because if the word of Christ dwells in me richly, it produces this. Now I see some very similar things, and if I let the Spirit, if I keep in step with the Spirit, or I'm filled with the Spirit. And we know that the better Greek translation of that is being filled. It's an ongoing thing. We need to be filled and 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 be filled. You're not just filled once, you're being filled. That's the invitation. Then why? It produces this life of worship and praise and thanksgiving. It produces this life of glory and honor to God and directed by God. I find this very interesting that these two recipes produce the same cake. And so I married them together, and here they are. Let me read them for you. The yellow is Ephesians and the white is Colossians. And I wrote this down on my blotter this week, and I said, that makes sense to me. It says, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus. And whenever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. don't know about you, but that seems to make sense to me when I can marry those two passages of Scripture. They just kind of fit right together. And so now I'm starting to unpack, hang with me here, I'm starting to unpack how to be filled with the Spirit seems to be dwelling, the Word of Christ dwelling in me richly and filled with the Spirit seems to be very similar. The result of that. And so now I'm wondering if it's the same thing or if I need two different things. Am I making sense to anybody? Yep. The sad part of it is it's making clear sense in my head. It is scary up there. There is an agreement. There seems to be an agreement between the Word of Christ and the Spirit, which produces the same results. See, I'm really interested in this. I'm really interested in knowing how to live the good life. Because one thing I don't want to do is wake up in another 20 years from now and wonder if I'm living the good life. I want to know I'm living the good life. I want to know what's on my dash. I don't want to by chance arrive there. I want to live the good life. So now I see there's an agreement between the Word of Christ and the Spirit that produces the same result, which is my definition of the good life. One of what? One of giving and receiving wisdom. The one of worship and praise and thanksgiving to God. And one that a life is being lived at the direction of Jesus and for the glory and the honor of Jesus. So now I need the Word of Christ and I need the Spirit of God. Believe you me, I caught a lot out of this message that God had to teach me. So I'm hungry to know the good life. I'm hungry for you to know the good life. I get so sick of the world trying to impress on me what the good life is. And why am I doing this? Why am I here? What am I doing? Why do I strive for that? Why am I looking for that? Why does that? Why do I want the bank account? Why do I want to arrive there? Why? I don't want to do that anymore in my life. I want to know that I'm living the good life. John says this, Jesus says this in the Gospel of John. I have much more to say to you, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, more than you can now bear. I got more to tell you. I got more words to express to you. Now that's a little disheartening to me if you stop at that verse, right? I got more to tell you, zip, hang up the phone, never call again. Then don't even tell me that. If there's not going to be a mechanism where I can understand your words and know the words that you're going to tell me here that I can't bear right now, that I can't receive right now, that I can't make sense in my head right now, that are in the future, how am I going to get to know them then? See, that's frustrating to me when Jesus says stuff like that. If there wasn't a verse 13. Because if I believe, listen, I'm going to repeat myself a few times. If I believe that the good life is letting the Word of Christ dwell in me richly produces this good life, and now Jesus said, I got much more to tell you, but I can't tell you anything. What? But then he says this. But when the Spirit of truth, and just so you know, I've edited this scripture to take out every he and write Spirit of truth in it, which I think the Bible ought to be translated, no he's, all Jesus, all God, all Spirit of truth, whatever. I don't think there ever should be a he in the Bible. Every time we read it, we should read the name Jesus or the Spirit. In some translations, they don't even capitalize it anymore, so I get a little frustrated. I don't know if it's talking about Jesus or not. You write Jesus in there, then you know you're talking about Jesus. So this is one of my translations, okay? I didn't change anything. I didn't change the meaning. I took he and wrote Spirit of Truth in there. So let me read it this way. If you look up, hey, I want to find that verse where it said Spirit of Truth like 15 times. You're not going to find it. I added them. Okay? I'm going to admit that up front. But now see, Jesus said, I got much more to tell you, Ryan! But you can't take it all right now. You can't take it all right now. Amen. You can't receive everything I got to tell you right now. But you're going to need my word. You're going to need the Word of Christ. But when the Spirit of truth comes, the Spirit of truth comes, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of truth will not speak on his own. The Spirit of truth will speak only what he hears, and the Spirit of truth will tell you what is yet to come. Verse 14 says this, the Spirit of truth will bring glory to me. Jesus is talking. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because the Spirit's going to work in conjunction with Jesus. The Spirit of truth will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. The Spirit of truth. Now, wait a minute. To have the good life, I got to have the Word of Christ dwell in me richly. And it produces the same thing if I'm being filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Jesus and the Spirit are in cahoots with one another. And Jesus says, I can't give you everything you need right now, but don't worry, I'm going to send the Spirit of truth, and he's going to take what is mine, and he's going to give it to you. Woo! I love that passage. When I know that I can't have the good life unless the Spirit is doing something, unless the Word of Jesus is doing something, I got to be making sense today. The Spirit of truth is going to take what is Jesus's and make it known to you and to me. Does the Spirit of truth speak the Word of truth to you and me? Apparently so. The Spirit takes what is Jesus's and makes it known to you. Now I'm starting to build this understanding of how I can let the Word of Christ dwell in me richly. As I'm being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the words of Christ and the Spirit are in conjunction with one another, producing this good life in you and me to whoever will let it come. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Does the Spirit, this is a question I ask myself, does the Spirit of truth use the Word of truth that we know as he talks to us and guides our lives? That's just a question I wrote down. So is there a word in me that the Spirit agrees with, or the Spirit teaches me as I'm more in the Word and more in the Spirit and more following the Spirit and being filled by the Spirit and more in the Word? Do those things start to agree? Or do I just walk in the Spirit, so to speak? I'm just filled with the Spirit. I'm just going to walk through life in the Spirit. I don't really need the Word of God anymore because I got the Spirit of God. The Spirit said, oh, wait a minute. You're taking away my partner who is the Word of truth. And so I'm asking myself, the more I'm in the truth and the more I'm in the Spirit, do they come together in my life and produce the good life? So if this Word of Christ is to dwell in me richly, I need the Spirit of truth and the Word of truth in the same environment. Question mark. Is that true? See, I'm trying to figure this out too. Because at 54 years old, I'm not going to wake up at 64 years old and wonder if I'm living the good life. I'm going to know I'm living the good life. So if the Word of Christ is dwelling in me richly, I need the Spirit of truth and the Word of truth in the same environment. The Word of truth is what is being planted, and the Spirit of truth is who's doing the planting. They're working in the same field. See, one thing I do know about farming that I remember from years ago, that Tobin doesn't walk around one field while he leaves the corn planter in the other field. What are you doing? I'm planting a field. You might want to hook to the corn planter. It's going to plant much more successfully if you're pulling the plant with the seeds in it to plant in there, because the Spirit is making sense of what's being planted. He's planting that in your life. So if I'm not being filled with the Holy Spirit, right? If I'm not consuming the Word of truth and I'm not letting it dwell in me richly, the good life is only an undefined concept and not a reality in my life. Are you with me this morning? Do you want the good life to be only an undefined concept? Or are you going to let the world define it for you? Or are you going to let a guy, I found out very interesting, that guy on the picture of that book, when I first started to see his picture, it says 200,000 copies sold. Next picture I saw is 500,000 copies sold. Next one is 1.15 million copies sold. I said, I'm telling you, that guy's getting rich on somebody else. Same book, just different sticker. I'm telling us right now, there's a lot of people searching for the good life. And we're being duped over and over and over and over in my life of what the good life is. Jesus says, I've got the good life for you, and I want you to have a life of giving and receiving wisdom and teaching and receiving and counsel. And I want you to have a life of worship and praise and thanksgiving to God. And I want you to have a life that is empowered and directed by Jesus and for the glory and the honor of Jesus. I don't just want you to be his disciple. I want you to be his witness. That's the good life. Anything else is just a mockery of what Jesus wants to do in your life. But now I know, so I'm back to the same question. Push the button, please. I think I'm there. Because without the word of Christ dwelling in us richly, I am bound to our opinions, limited by our experiences, and tainted by our depravity. I'm going to make a t-shirt out of that. How many people want to order one? And maybe I'll put a caution sign. I made a couple caution t-shirts in my life. Caution, I have spent no time with God, and my counsel may be faulty. Caution, the word of Christ is not dwelling in me richly. Therefore, I am bound to my opinions. I'm bound to my experiences, and I'm bound to my depravity. You may want to find somebody who the word of Christ is dwelling in richly, because I cannot help you find the good life. So the question is, I'm on my last page of notes, hang on there. So the question is, how can I let the word of Christ dwell in me richly? See, I'm back to that again. I'm back to looking at those steps again. You've got to be kidding me. How do I do that? How do I do that? Can I just throw a couple more things out there that I think, because I can't end there. In my own spirit, I couldn't end there this week. So let me throw this out there. Number one is this. And you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise, the Holy Spirit. You want the good life? You need to believe and receive the Holy Spirit. You're lost without Jesus. You're lost in your sins. I was lost in my sins until Jesus became a reality in my life. Until someone said, I know you can't handle these things, but let me tell you about someone who can. His name is Jesus. And those moments, in that moment, the Spirit come in and sealed me. You wanna live the good life, and you gotta be being filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to receive the Holy Spirit first. And he said that salvation, when I come in and make you new, when I come in and redeem you, I seal you. The Spirit seals you at that moment. And now you're operating with a different set of rules from a different set of direction inside of you. Will you listen to the Spirit inside of you? I'm never going to have the good life until the Spirit is dwelling in me. And Jesus says that happens at salvation. Number one, you need to believe and receive the Holy Spirit. Number two, Jesus says to his disciples, do you want to leave too? Do you want to leave too? Do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. See, I need to start thinking that what Jesus has got to tell me, I need to believe that the Word is the giver of life. See, the Holy Spirit's not going to take some second-rate thing and make sense in your life with it. He wants to take what gives eternal life. He wants to take what gives life to you and to me. And he wants to make sense of that in my life and in your life. Why? So I can live that life of good, that good life. See, I think we believe sometimes, do I have to read the Bible? I'm telling us one thing, if we had some sort of disease and it took a special regiment to get out of that disease, we'd know that regiment. you got a disease and so do I. And it takes a special regimen to get out of it, and it's in the Word of God. Jesus says, I can't tell you all right now, but I'm going to tell you as you walk in the Spirit and as you read the Word and as those two things work together in your life, it's going to start producing the good life. So I need to believe. I really just need to believe. I think I need to get up every morning and said, I receive the Spirit today. I receive Spirit where you're going to take me today. I want to be filled with the Spirit today. I want to be filled with the Spirit today. And then I want to say, I believe that the Word of God is the giver of real life. I believe that. I believe that with everything. I used to have a shirt. You can have my gun when you pry it from my dead cold hands. You know, the pistol pointing out like this. But I can be a Second Amendment supporter. I'm good. But I wish I had a shirt that says, you're never going to get the Word of God out of my hands. Because it's the giver of life. And I don't plan on going through life without it. You can have it when you pry it from my dead, cold hands. But you're not going to get it any other way because it's the giver of life. Number three, let me just throw a couple more out there. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I need to believe, number three, I need to believe that the Word of God is a daily need. Will we believe it? Will we believe that the Word of God is the daily need? Can I just ask us, and you can answer it in your own spirit. You had 168 hours that started from Sunday through Saturday night. There's 168 hours in a week. How much of that time did you spend physically eating? Does it come anywhere near what you ate out of this? I'm asking myself the same questions. Number four, which is on the next slide. When your words came, I ate them. I love Jeremiah. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. Jeremiah knows that he needs to dine on the Word of God on a regular basis. He knows that they're the giver of life. And he also knows, I believe, that the Word of God is producing joy and pleasure at the deepest level of my life. I know that it's the giver of life. I know that I need it daily. I believe that, Holy Spirit. I believe that, Jesus. I want to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to work in conjunction with the words of Christ so that I can live this life of giving and receiving. I can live this life of worship and praise and thanksgiving to God. And so I can live this life of being directed and empowered by Jesus and for His glory and for His honor. But I can't do it if this gets hit in the van all week. Because the Spirit's going to plant with the seeds that are in me. One more, a couple more. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. I need to believe that the word is making me holy. And I would like to unpack this for the next hour or so, but I can't. But the word of truth is making you holy. And without holiness, no one sees God. God is making you holy. You stand holy before Him because of Christ. But He's making you holy through this. That means your actions are starting to line up with the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. They're starting to line up. Why? Because the Spirit is taking the seed, which I know is the giver of life, and I know that I need daily, and I know that it's producing a deep pleasure in my life, and I know that it's honing me and cleaning me and refreshing me and sharpening me. One more, I promise. The Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I need to believe that the Word is showing the way. Not just a way, the way. Will we believe it this morning? The final slide is this. live the good life. Let it happen in your life. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you can travel or you can't travel, whether you're healthy or you're sick, the rich life is for you. The good life is for you. Stand with me today. God, we started early in this time together with, here's my heart and here's my life, Lord. Speak what is truth. Lord, that is the reality that I want to live the good life. I want us to live the good life. And Lord, the word that came to me this morning is, by a servant of yours, is that what is being asked for is going to be poured out. What you've been asking for is going to be poured out. And God, so I'm going to take that word as a word from you. I'm going to grab onto that and say, this is the reality. God, you spoke through your servant. And you're going to answer the prayers and you're going to take what is there, what we've been asking for, and you're going to pour it out on us. God, can I ask this morning for that we would be being filled with the Holy Spirit? Can I ask that you would give us an unsatisfiable hunger for the Word of God? Set me on fire. Do it, Lord. Set me on fire. Because I'm really struggling and helping myself and others understand what the good life is. But I think I've arrived at the gate of the good life today. I think I've arrived there this week with what you've poured out and taught me. So, Lord, help us to be being filled with the Spirit. Help us to be consumers of the Word of God. And let us to let that product of those two things dwell in us richly. Give it a home where it's the master, not the servant. God, you're an amazing God. And I thank you so much. God, again, I ask that we would go out of this room smelling more like God than when we came here. Father, thank you so much. God, let it be. Let it be. Let it be. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.